Graham.
Welcome to Street Knowledge. I am Chris Graham. I have Scott German with me for the podcast talking UVA football. We talked UVA basketball yesterday. Today we're going to talk about the Wahoos getting ready for surging Boston College. And so Scott, this team is 5-1. This Virginia team is 5-1. One more win and already bowl eligible. Who would have thought we'd be talking about this when this season started?
Well, I'd like to say, I had all the faith in them in the world, but that would be an absolute lie because I was very skeptical, to say the least, that this team would figure out a way to win more than maybe two or three games. But they've surprised us, and you're right, they're one win away from bowl eligibility. And at this point in the rebuilding of this football program, we're looking at that bowl with whatever that bowl is, if it's in Annapolis or wherever. That's as important to this program as going to the Rose Bowl would be.
Yeah, and so you don't overlook the chance. We know we've talked, Scott, about how the schedule gets really tough in November. So a game against Boston College, I call them surging Boston College. They, of course, the Eagles beat Louisville last weekend, 45-42 at Papa John's Stadium. So, and a team that also played Clemson pretty tough a few weeks ago. A 3-4 team, 1-3 in the ACC. This is, Virginia's a 7-point favorite heading into this game, so you don't want to overlook this opportunity, to say the least, if you're the Cavs. You're at home, it's homecoming, a chance, you would maybe expect a bigger crowd than we've seen this year. I don't think we've cracked the 40,000 mark in attendance, but, you got to hope that, I guess that's something we could talk about. You got to hope that the fans are starting to pick up on the fact that this team is doing a lot better than any of us thought, and maybe more people will, not disguise themselves as empty seats, I guess, on Saturday.
We hope, and, the weather's looking like it's going to be an ideal fall afternoon. Not a hot day at all. Just perfect day. Game time's 12:30. You still got plenty of your day left after the game. It should be the biggest crowd of the season. Hopefully it will be. We can talk about these empty seats and our theories behind them. I think we pretty much know the theory behind them. But, a chance Saturday for the fans that have kind of been on the fence to come out and take a peek at what's unfolded so far. And two teams that, according to Coach Mendenhall, listening to his telephone or his weekly presser with the fans last night, a team that kind of resembles Virginia in a way in that they clearly have a footprint, clearly have a mold of the program that they want to be, and they're starting to implement it pretty well. Their record is very deceiving. They're 3-4. They beat Louisville at Louisville. Not a Louisville team that was, as far as I know, had their Heisman Trophy quarterback. They were tied 7-0 in Death Valley against Clemson, or that game may have been played at BC. I'm not sure.
That was at Clemson, yeah.
So, 3-4, that's a very misleading 3-4 team, and it's going to be a heck of a challenge for Virginia on Saturday. A great, great game.
Now, I'll give the other side of the BC story, and not to down them at all, to say the least, because this is a tough team. You just mentioned the two tough losses they suffered as they go to 3-4. Steve Addazio is in year 5 of his program, and there is actually talk up around Chestnut Hill and the environs there that this may be his last season. Year 5 of a rebuild. The Eagles went to a bowl last year. They finished 6-6 in the regular season, went to a bowl for the first time in a long time there. But this year's team at 3-4, now I guess we talk about this, Scott, in the context of a team that needs a win. They lose this game, fall to 3-5, finishing 3-1 down the stretch becomes a tall order for this program to get back to a bowl. And the expectation from the folks who follow Boston College football closely is that Addazio can't backslide this year. He went to a bowl last year. If this program falls below that threshold, this could be the end. And in fact, if you pay attention, maybe his last two or three weekly press conferences, is kind of reading in between the lines a bit, but he's sort of setting the stage for, well, we don't have great facilities here, we don't have great practice facilities, it's hard to recruit here. And he's maybe, kind of subtly saying, I've done a good job. I think I've earned more opportunities, even if I don't win six games this year. Please don't fire me. But that said, yeah, this team certainly, going into this game, if they win their 4-4, 2-2 to finish out to get to 6-6, a lot more realistic for that program than 3-1. So huge game for the Eagles this weekend in that context.
Well, definitely. So they're kind of maybe playing for their coach's life. But, the story about BC, and I have some ties to that program, have a relative that teaches there at Boston College. And they are, kind of a head scratcher as to what the ACC, other than what we all know, the almighty dollar, as far as getting that ACC television footprint up into that northeast part of the United States. But don't know how much it's actually helped the conference or not, as far as attaining viewership that they can turn around and stake to their advertising rates as how much they charge advertisers. But BC is so far buried on the Boston sports map that they hardly even have a pulse. Ever, because Boston is a pro town, and you've got the fabled franchises, the Celtics, the Bruins, the Patriots. For those that don't know, New England is a Boston team. They play in a suburb of Boston. The Red Sox. I mean, BC is just a non-component in that market as far as sports. And it's relatively good academic school. It's a tough place to play. I have actually been to a football game there in their stadium, and it's not. It's among, being charitable, it's among the least favorite, at least as far as the character of the stadium, probably among the least in the conference. It's not a big stadium. It's just they're. I don't know what their practice facility is like, if they even have an indoor facility, but it's a tough place to win. And I think he came there, the program was pretty downtrodden. Now, 5 years, I guess that's kind of the benchmark. If he hasn't turned it around by then, but according to Coach Mendenhall last night, he stuck to his game plan. And it may have taken 5 years, and now you might start seeing that shift to where, they start winning some football games. But my gosh, at Clemson, at Louisville, that's a tough road to hoe, regardless of who you are.
And see, thinking back to when Boston College came into the ACC, it was around the same time that Virginia Tech and Miami came in. I think, in fact, they all came in at the same time, 2004, 2005, somewhere in that range. And BC football back then, actually the basketball program was also top-notch then. It's also been downtrodden for several years. But the basketball team was an NCAA tournament team, and the football team had Matt Ryan at quarterback. There was that memorable game, I want to say it was in 2006 maybe, when BC played Virginia Tech on a Thursday night, and they were both ranked in the top five in the country. Tom O'Brien, of course, the former Virginia assistant coach, was the longtime coach there. They went to a bowl every year for something like 9, 10, 11 straight years under O'Brien. It was a long stretch where they went to bowls. When O'Brien left to go to NC State, a guy named Jeff Jagodinski took over for just a couple of years. In fact, he was the coach in that BC-Virginia Tech game I talked about, where both teams were ranked in the top five. He had some interest in NFL jobs. BC fired him for showing interest in those NFL jobs. And not coincidentally, maybe, the quality of coaching has gone down. The recruiting suffered. And they're about, 9, 10 years now, kind of like Virginia in a lot of ways, into falling into the abyss. Just last year, getting back to a bowl for the first time in a long time. You talked about the Boston market. That's the danger that college conferences have when they try to go into a pro sports town. You want the TV market, like you said, Scott, Boston, the TV market that it is. You want to get into those TV markets, but when you get a pro sports town, you know, if you're in Charlottesville, if you're in Blacksburg, if you're in Chapel Hill, Tallahassee, you know, you're the game in town. You know, the college team is the game in town. That's your pro team. You're in Boston, yeah, you're 5th or 6th or 10th or whatever you can be on the list. And that's the tough part about bringing those big markets is that you bring in a big market, but they're not really on that radar there. And that all factors in, I think, into the interest in the program and then the ability to recruit. You know, you talked about the stadium being so small, the lack of practice facilities. I think it all goes together, honestly.
Oh, absolutely. My relative, we had that conversation. It wasn't recently, but it was not that long ago. She said to show you, give you an ending. They did a poll in Boston about the awareness factor of the sports teams, both pro and con events. BC Sports fell below the Boston Marathon.
Uh-huh. I can say that.
And that's a one day event, one time a year.
Yeah.
And BC Sports is pretty much year round. So, you know, yeah, they're probably, if you had to rank them categorically or numerically, I'm sure this BC Sports, BC Football, is going to be down around 9 or 10 as far as the consciousness of the Boston sports fan.
We'll talk about this BC team and what it's doing this year. We mentioned 3-4 records, the close losses, or the good performances against some good teams, and then the win over Louisville. Last week, A.J. Dillon, 272 yards. He's a true freshman running back, 272 yards, 4 touchdowns. Boston College puts up 555 yards total offense. Now, they did give up 625 to Louisville in the win, 45-42 win. Last second field goal that won the game for them. This year, the defense is giving up 445.9 yards per game, 242 yards a game on the ground, 5.4 yards per carry on the ground. So, you know, that defensive effort last week was really no fluke. You know, Louisville, obviously, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, Lamar Jackson, but, you know, they've been giving up big yards to everybody this year. And their quarterback, Anthony Brown, a redshirt freshman, and he struggled. Now, he's a guy that was being recruited by Virginia Tech. I remember when he was coming out of high school, the offensive coordinator there, Scott Leffler, former Virginia Tech offensive coordinator, and Brown was a top target for Leffler. He's completing just 51% of his passes, 7 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. You know, an issue for Boston College, they got the running game at least ramped up last week with A.J. Dillon putting all those yards up. But from a skill position, a skill player standpoint, as far as receiver and tight end, maybe not so much talent there. And it kind of makes it a challenge for Brown, the new quarterback, to do his job. So it's a team that will be largely one-dimensional. They'll run the ball an awful lot, and if they don't have success running, you'll be able to shut them down. Now, unfortunately for Virginia, that's the one area. If there's any vulnerability defensively for Virginia, it is on the ground. Last week, Carolina runs for 211. We also saw, even back to William & Mary, William & Mary gained some yards on the ground against Virginia. So not that Virginia's defense is struggling. The defense gave up 312 yards a game. But if you can't hit them in one place, it would be on the ground. If Virginia is able to figure out early how to shut that running game down, it could be a long afternoon for BC.
And you know that's probably the emphasis that's going on in practice is to concentrate, focus on shutting down that running game. But at the same time, you don't expect BC to come out and just, abandon it. They're going to have to pass some to set up the running game a little. They're going to have some sort of a passing attack. So, and again, they come into the game, they got to be just overflowing with confidence. I mean, if you beat Louisville at Louisville, all of a sudden, the thought of beating Virginia, that's not all that of an opposing thought if you're opposing a team, rather. So, I'm certain that BC is not going to come into Scott Stadium thinking, we have no chance of winning this football game. They're going to get, UVA's going to get BC's best shot. Probably the way we're going to be talking about that the rest of the season. If you look
this is the start of a stretch. You got BC, Pitt, you got Georgia Tech, Louisville, Miami, Virginia Tech to finish things out here. One stat that I don't think fans, I didn't know until I looked it up. I was trying to get a sense of how Virginia's defense ranks ACC and nationally, and Virginia's ranked fifth in the nation in pass defense efficiency, a 99.1 opponent passer rating. You know, watching the games, you know, you knew that opponents were having a hard time throwing the ball against Virginia, but fifth in the nation in pass defense efficiency. And you're going up against a quarterback who's struggling to connect with his receivers. You know, it's almost like, yeah, if you're game planning, you know, Bronco Mendenhall, you keep doing what you're doing, but you can put some wrinkles in maybe to try to slow, you know, some run blitzes and things like that to try to slow that running game down. Virginia also seventh nationally, and we knew this kind of going in, but I didn't know about the seventh nationally part, but allowing opponents to convert just 26.8% of third downs. That's you know, if you stop the run on first and second, you can stop the run on first and second down and make them throw you know, third and long passes. That's how that all adds up. So you know, Virginia offensively, then the running game's gotten going. We've talked about that in a couple of weeks. The BC run defense, not very good, as I mentioned, give up 5.4 yards per carry. You can see the game plan there from Robert and A and his staff. Hey, let's continue doing what we're doing there. Let's run the ball, give Kurt Baker, you know, ahead of the chains downs, better second downs, better third downs, and really allow for, you know, that more of a ball control type offense like we saw last week in the win over Carolina.
Which might dictate the way that the defensive schemes are called. Again, you just don't, you know, it just depends on how BC wants to challenge. I mean, if BC comes into this game and sit there run-oriented team, you know, don't be surprised that they're not working on something in practice this week that may open up their passing game, or may at least try to open up the passing game a little bit. I've kind of learned from watching enough football, you know, it's not always what you expect and what these teams come out with on game day. Another game that we seem to be getting some respect out in Vegas. Virginia's a 7.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you what, we're quickly gaining some believers out in the betting world, as it seems like.
Well, yeah, you know, that's a reflection of you know, a couple of road wins too. I mean, it's the home game, but you win at Carolina, even though Carolina's 1-6. You know, that's not easy to go on the road and easy to win. You win at Boise State, you know, and this is a BC team going into the season. You know, Virginia was likely to only be favored in two games. You know, in fact, before the season, they were only favored when you looked at the long-term schedule. The ESPN Power Index, the way it can, you know, project out how your record's going to be, it had Virginia favored against William & Mary and against Boston College. Those are the two games. And so this is a game that on your schedule, no matter where you thought this Virginia team would finish out this year, this was a game that you had circled as a winnable game. Now that we're halfway through the season, you know, it's we know where this Virginia team is. We know where the other teams in the ACC are. You know, it's certainly there. This is a game Virginia, you know, needs to. I think almost it's kind of weird to say we don't have experience with this the last several years, but you know, I doubt that Bronco Mendenhall lets his team look too far down the road. But these are college kids. They, you know, they can, you know, their attention spans are what they are. You don't want to overlook this team because this is a very this is a game that if you overlook this team, you can lose. But boy, you know, if you go out there, you do what you need to do for 3 hours on Saturday, you know, it really sets up the second half of the season for Virginia to do something special this year.
Yeah, you can't look at games anymore and say this is a sure win. I'm sure Louisville fans were thinking before the season, even before the game kickoff, that game against Boston College was a sure win. Well, that didn't turn out that way.
Clemson, Syracuse, and I really
believe that Mendenhall, his overall approach to the game, if we lose Saturday, and that's certainly within the realm of a possibility, I don't think it's going to be because we were not prepared or we were overconfident or anything like that. I think it's going to be just Boston College was better on that particular day, executed the plays better. But game from there on out is just icing on the cake.
Yeah, I'll tell you, so we talked about some of the keys to the game, Virginia establishing running game, taking away BC's running game. Those are, to me, the two big keys of the game, is controlling the line of scrimmage and establishing that early on both sides of the ball. I would say a concern I've got, and I want to get your thought on this, Scott, a concern I've got is that, to me, the only way you really lose this game is if you're loose with the ball, if there's turnovers by the Virginia offense. And this offense only committed 4 turnovers this year, 3 interceptions by Kurt Binkert. He lost a fumble last week, so 4 turnovers all by Kurt Binkert, as it turns out. First lost fumble of the season was late last week in that win. Virginia's defense held and won the game after that turnover. But that's the area that, you know, and not that Boston College is a ball-hawking defense or anything of that nature, but it's the potential for sloppy play is the only thing that concerns me. I think if Virginia plays a clean game, it's hard for them to lose, but it, really the last couple games out, the Duke win, the Binkert threw a pick six last week. Again, the fumble late that gave Carolina a chance, at least at the end of the game, to maybe drive and win the game. That's the only thing that concerns me is that potential, again, for the turnover. And I want to get your thoughts on that because, you know, it's hard to nitpick that much. 4 turnovers in 6 games is a great, a great ratio for your offense, but I don't know. I just feel, you know, the 4 sacks last week, the fumble last week, that pick 6 2 weeks ago, you know, I am nitpicking, but it does concern me a bit.
Well, and hopefully that was just some hiccups. This is a game, and I think Vegas, the point spread, Virginia 7.5, I think it reflects what you need to do. And I think, and I agree 100%, the only way Virginia loses this game is get beat badly in the turnover game. Cough up the ball. Then Kurt throws some ill-advised passes, it gets picked off, these kinds of things. If the offense goes out and simply does not lose the game, goes out and just plays a very even-keel game, no, maybe one turnover, hopefully it's not an inopportune time, but this is a game where the offense just takes care of business, goes out and plays a well-played game, don't have to put up gaudy numbers, then Virginia wins. And I think that's the reason Vegas has them as a 7.5-point favorite. They don't have to go out and score 35 points. They just need to take care of the ball. No unnecessary, no turnovers, sloppy, offensive turnovers. And they should win that football game. And I think I believe that's what you're going to see. I think it's going to be, I would use the word workman-like effort. I don't see Virginia going out and winning this game 45-10, although I would love it. It would be great. But I see the evolution of the way this program is going to grow, continue to grow under Coach Mendenhall, is they're going to go out. It's going to be a close game, but they'll win because they just took care of the ball, didn't have any unnecessary turnovers, and the offense didn't lose it for us.
Yeah, so you segued into where I wanted to go, kind of wrap things up with the podcast, into the predictions part of the podcast. You're saying, close, kind of workmanlike game. Give us a score and give us the rationale.
Well, for those that are keeping score, I'm too straight. A little off in the prediction of the Carolina game, but still got the ultimate winner right. I'm going to say in an ugly-like game to most people that would look at the game, but not to us UVA fans, I'm going to say UVA 23, BC 10.
Uh-huh.
And ugly in that it's close until the fourth quarter, but BC never really threatens to win the game. Virginia just goes out and does what they need to do to win the game. But I do believe that, again, take care of the ball, play just steady on offense, play a good normal defensive game that we've seen the last 2 or 3 outings, and Virginia wins 23-10.
Yeah, you've got me there a little bit. My the score I had in my head from the moment we started the podcast here was 20-10 Virginia, with a similar rationale. I think that Virginia, I think the game plan offensively is going to be to more emphasize ball control. So, I don't see a lot of passing up and down the field and big plays necessarily out of the offense there. I think you're going to see more of the drives like we saw a couple of drives against North Carolina. You're going to want to see Robert Anae with 10, 12, 15 play drives, controlling the clock, controlling the game on the ground. Binkert kind of picking his spots to get yards in the air, move the chains as needed. through the air. Defensively, I really think that the Cavs will control the line of scrimmage early and make it really hard for Boston College to sustain drives on its side of the ball. So 20-10, I think it feels right to me. So we're both pretty close there as far as that goes. I think I expect the same thing as you, Scott. I think it'll be a game where, to me, it kind of feels a little bit like the William & Mary game early this season. You know, a lot of fans probably looked at that final score and said 28-10. We only beat, you know, a pretty bad FCS team 28-10. What's the issue there? If you watch that game at all live or on TV or whatever else, the game plan was pretty vanilla. They went out, won the game, did what they needed to do. They didn't need to be too flashy. They just won the game. I think something similar this weekend. Again, I think, you know, probably a pretty basic game plan. Let's just go out and win the game. And I kind of see that being the same case.
I think the biggest difference between your prediction 20-10 and mine 23-10 is, Chris, you just drastically are underestimating our kicking game.
Well, you're giving.
I believe that we get a field goal. We can go down and kick a field goal sometime in that game.
Well, the most likely way to get 23 is 3 field goals, right? So.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. We can kick a field goal. Well, our kicking game is improved. So
I'm only giving.
That's why I didn't stick with the conventional 7-point scores like 21-10 or 28-10. I said 23 because I believe you're going to see some field goals.
Well, we had 2 last week, which doubled our season total. So. Yeah, and I saw earlier this week in Broncos' press conference on Monday, he was asked the question, so where do you feel comfortable kicking field goals this year? Now, of course, the long for A.J. Mejia, the freshman kicker, is 28. Both of his field goals last week were within 28 yards. Mendenhall said that he would feel confident. In fact, he said going into last week's game, they felt confident 25 at the 25-yard line, which will be a 42-yard kick. And he said, you know, just like with any coach, it kind of varies week to week based on field conditions and the wind and that kind of thing. But he said he'd feel good most weeks out to 45 yards on attempts. Now, last week, too, you know, we were thinking about this. I know I was thinking about this during that last drive that Virginia had, the one that ended with a fumble by Kurt Binkert. Virginia had a first down, I want to say, right around the 20-yard line, on the Carolina 20-yard line on that drive. The clipping penalty that knocked it back to about the 33, I think it was, for that third down play. You know, I even thought Virginia might run the ball there to try to gain 4 or 5 yards and set up a field goal. And Broncos said that there was a thought to that, that you know, if that third down play had not worked out the way it did, where Virginia would have, you know, fumbled the ball away, that if they had gotten inside the 30, they were going to try a field goal there. So, we haven't seen a field goal attempted that long this year, but it sounds like that they have more confidence in A.J. Mejia than we've seen all season long, and that's probably a good note because you're going to need to make some medium and longer range field goals if you're going to, you know, play some close games down the stretch.
Yeah, and remember, they see things in practice that we don't see on game day. So I'm not certain this is their mentality, but maybe this is their mentality. The coach's mentality has gone from we can't kick field goals to we'd rather not kick field goals. So that is an incremental improvement to just say, hey, if we have to, we think we can kick one from 35, 40 yards. But earlier in the season, that would have never taken place.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing if it's 4th and 1 or 4th and 2 and you're at the 20-yard line and you say, hey, I think we can get 2 yards here. Let's go ahead and go for it. It's another thing if it's 4th and 10, you're at the 19-yard line. You know, you need to be able to kick that 36-yard field goal. If you can't do that, you know, going for 4th and getting 10 yards on one play when the defense knows you need the 10 yards within that short part of the field is really tough. So yeah, you know, it's incremental. It's progress, and we'll take it. This program's growing up, you know, kind of fast, as we've seen. So, you know, the kicker's a freshman, and Bronco and staff have more confidence in him as the weeks go on. That's good to see. So, you know, hopefully a game-winning field goal isn't in the cards this week. We got some, you know, some games down the stretch where we might have that be the issue, but let's hope it's not this week necessarily.
No, and if you haven't got tickets yet, buy some tickets and come out because it's a great venue, and they need this. Virginia needs the support. support. The fans should support what the effort that's gone into this season.
I think that'll wrap us up for the podcast here. For Scott German, I'm Chris Graham. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and we'll just remind you real quick that coming up on Saturday, Scott and Josh Simmons will be live blogging from the press box at Scott Stadium. Kickoff is after noon, I think a 12:20 kickoff officially, but they'll be live blogging. I'll be at VMI doing play-by-play for the radio for VMI's broadcast, so I won't be there for that. But of course, after the game, we'll have everything you can imagine in terms of the game recap. We'll have stats breakdowns, we'll have game columns, etc. So that is something to look forward to for Saturday. But in the meantime, again, thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you again soon.